You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
Okay, so today we are joined by Sammy Ryan. She has a wonderful clothing company called By Sammy Ryan, and she's wearing her new hoodie that comes out today. And the background is all beautiful that way too. And yeah, so we met at 100K earlier this year, which is an event that Zumiez puts on every year. And it was our first time there. But I remember, I think you had been to Emo Night with Bobby last year, and I remember he was like, I want to introduce you guys, but I think it was a crazy night, so we didn't end up meeting. But I had seen you around 100K, like I would see you from afar and whatnot. And then the day after Emo Night, Morgan, TJ, and I were sitting in the lobby just so out of it, and then I saw you walking up the stairs. I was like, Sammy!
Yes. Oh my God. Your guys' set for 100K was so fun. I think I was like jumping up and down on stage. I'm pretty sure I had like a White Claw and someone was like, you can't have alcohol on stage. I was like, you can have it.
Was that really a rule?
I mean, I'm assuming so, but the security guard, when I like handed it to him, he was like, what? Like, what do you want me to do with this? I'm like, I don't know. Like, My Chemical Romance is on right
You're
now.
Like, I don't even out. Care.
Yeah, literally.
The Black Parade
care.
Is on. I've got to go. was a really crazy set. There was a moment where Ryan from State Champs was on the like electrical bowl in the distance, and then Alex from All Time Low was on top of the table singing, and I just, my brain exploded. I was like, what is this?
Seriously, it was insane. That was so much fun. Like, 100K is usually like really, really fun. Unfortunately, they're not going to be having it in January, obviously. But it's usually so much fun. And like the Emo Night set was by far one of my favorite sets.
Amazing. I love that. Yeah, it was a fun time for us, being that it was the first time we had ever gone. We didn't know what to expect.
Wasn't it hard to breathe?
Yeah,
up
for
there?
Sure. But I would give anything right now to have trouble breathing but be at an event or be anywhere, you know.
Yeah, honestly, same. I miss like live music so much in events and just like being around like people's energy and stuff like that.
Yeah, and especially for a brand like yours, I would assume it's really important to be connecting with fans in real life, which that 100K is a great opportunity to do so. So how much do you sort of miss that, or how hard is it to only be interacting with people online this year?
I mean, 100K definitely is a huge opportunity for us. We get to meet so many of the sales associates that work for Zumiez and just talk to them about the brand, fans of the brand. So it's so much fun to be there. This year it's been obviously pretty challenging for everyone. And, you know, we've had to kind of pivot marketing things and stuff that we've been doing to online or virtual, stuff like that. I kind of like it, but I obviously like in-person interactions way more. It's like, at this point, it's like it is what it is, and I just kind of have to roll with it. So, yeah, we're just making the best of it. And our like followers and customers on Instagram are really awesome. So it's been easy to engage with them because I feel like our audience is so young and used to being on the internet. So it's kind of nice in
totally.
That sense, I guess.
And for listeners and viewers who aren't really familiar with your brand, will you kind of give us a little bit of a background of how you got started?
Yeah, definitely. So I started my brand By Sammy Ryan in 2009, actually. It was right after I graduated high school. I was going on tour, like Warped Tour, Bamboozle, Bonnaroo, just selling my products. At the time, I was making feather hair clips and accessories when that was like super popular with, I guess, like festival wear. And I was really lucky enough because I would go to shows all the time, like every weekend, every Friday I was at shows because I'm from Pennsylvania, so a lot of people would like come in from New York, or like it's kind of like a tri-state stop. So we'd have a lot of like really cool performers come out, and I was lucky enough to like meet Kesha in person and gave her a bunch of my stuff. And it was crazy because she wore it all the time. And it was wild at the time because I didn't think all these like women in music that I was gifting to knew that like a 19-year-old was making all this like stuff by hand and just like sending it blindly to their like publicists. So when I met her in person, it was really cool because then she eventually like shouted me out on the Ryan Seacrest radio show. And this was like, I think it was like really before Instagram popped off, and my phone like was like a demonic thing. It was just like shaking because so many orders were coming in, and I was like, wait, what just happened? And someone asked her like, where do you get your feather hair accessories? Cause that was super trendy probably back in like 2010.
Yeah, she was rocking those all the time. And like,
all the time. And she was like, by Sammy Ryan. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was a waitress at the time. So I was like, what is happening right now? So that was super cool. Just like started gifting women in music at the time. Every girl that was like performing on Warped Tour, I was pretty much gifting stuff to. So like Jess Bowen from the Somerset, I was sending her out a bunch of stuff. Pretty much, like I said, any girl that was on there, I would find my way to get backstage and just give them like a bag of stuff, which was pretty cool. So yeah, I started just vending all my stuff during music festivals. And then a couple years ago, well, let me backtrack. At that time, since our stuff was being worn by these, you know, trendsetters, women in music, our stuff got picked up by Nordstrom, which was crazy because they just like straight up cold emailed me. And they were like, could we get, you know, 1,000 of everything? I was like, sure. And obviously, I don't think they had any idea. Like, I was like 19. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what a UPC code was, which is like a barcode that you put on products. I didn't know what a purchase order was. So I literally had to figure that out by myself when I was like 19 in my dad's basement. So that was my first experience, like working with like a major retailer.
Were you like, holy shit, how am I going to make 1,000 units?
It was crazy. It was like pretty interesting because I have always followed and kind of like looked up to Johnny Cupcakes. And for the longest time he did, like he also sold a bunch of stuff on like tours too. Like, I don't know, like Warped Tour or something. I would see him like sell his shirts and stuff like that. So he used to do a lot of, I think he still does, like podcasts or interviews on how to find production or how to just like start a business. So back in the day, like in 2011, I'm pretty sure he did like a talk somewhere that was on YouTube, and he was talking about how you can find manufacturing easily through Alibaba and like talk to people and companies in China or India or any place you really want to talk to and form a relationship with them. And that's pretty much how I got those Nordstrom orders out. I was talking to manufacturers at like 3 a.m. because it's obviously a huge time difference in China. So I was just like trying to really do it how Johnny Cupcakes was like explaining it, like how to run a business. Because at that point, I literally had no idea what I was doing. My family, they're no entrepreneurs in the family. So I didn't have like any path to like lead me to where I was like going at the time. So those talks definitely helped me with the manufacturing and like packaging and stuff like that. Totally learned it all from YouTube. So after I was in Nordstrom for like a couple years, we decided to start the apparel side of By Sammy Ryan, which probably launched about 3 years ago now. And almost immediately we were picked up by Zumiez, which was really awesome because they're a really great retail partner. And they're so engaging and interactive with the people that work for the company. And especially with the brands that are like in Zumiez, they want you to meet the staff and the managers. And it's just a really cool opportunity to grow your brand with so many eyes on you. So once we started with Zumiez, we just kind of expanded into different things. Like at first we were just doing t-shirts, and like now we're just doing like sweat sets, hoodies, and we're online Revolve, which is awesome. It's just been crazy. We, by Sammy Ryan's inside the Hundreds warehouse. Well, not warehouse, but like the Hundreds office. So we have like a complete side of their building. So it's been really great to have like Ben and Bobby's like advice throughout my growing brand. And that's something pretty unique. And I feel like not a lot of people have that. And I'm pretty grateful to kind of have them as like mentors to like,
I mean, that's more valuable than anything. I feel like anytime I talk to Bobby, I just walk away so inspired and so enlightened. I'm like, you're right? The greatest human.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Especially at that time, like Pleasures was also in our office. So like we had those guys to like talk to. And like, even though I was a women's brand, like my fiance knows everyone. He's been in the streetwear industry for like 15 years. So like he already knew everyone. So for me, I was just like, you know, there as well. So it was just great, like learning from everyone here. It's been,
is there anything awesome that stands out from just working where the Hundreds works and just knowing Bobby, just a piece of advice that he's given you that has helped you out?
Definitely one thing that I've learned is that you have to invest in your inventory, which was something that I was so scared to do at first because we would sell out of stuff. And then I'm like, do we buy more? Like, how much do we buy? Just like logistic things, you know, ways to structure a business, a functioning business, to be able to have it grow. We completely built out our warehouse here, and Ben and Bobby have seen me in like a 500 square foot office to like a 5,000 square foot warehouse now. So like they've seen us grow so much, and a lot of it I feel like has been from being around them and seeing the success of the Hundreds and just like being able to get their advice literally at any given time. They're open to like just talk to us and just watch us grow. I think for them it's also pretty interesting too, because they're like, how did you do that so quick? Like, so it's pretty cool just having their advice at all times and being able to just like talk to them literally about anything, like the good, the bad, and
yeah,
like
I think stuff. Another great thing about Bobby is that he's so open about his failures, and his book is a lot about his failures, whereas I think a lot of successful people just boast about their successes and talk about all the good times. And he is so super open about, you know, just messing up and learning and growing and failing again and growing again. And so I think that's a really valuable thing as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think I read his book in like a flight to like Seattle.
I did too. I remember he had his book came out, and we went to, he had like a book signing release thing at Barnes and Noble. So I just went like fangirl. It's funny because we've become friends, but I'm just a huge fan of his. Yeah. So I can never understand that we're actually friends. I'm just like, I love your book. And then, so I got the book, and then I was on a flight the next morning and I read it on that flight.
I like couldn't put it down. I was like, this is so great. And like, I love that he talks about like the failures, because without them, like you really don't have like those successful or like I made it moments. So like, I definitely do find a lot of similarities in our story. Like we're both like middle children. And when he interviewed me for his podcast last year, that was crazy because at the time I was like, not where I am today as like a business owner and like where the business is today. I was still like holding on for dear life because I didn't know, it was like taking off so fast that I didn't know what I was doing. So he's just always been great at giving advice, even when I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is crazy. Like, don't you ever feel like that? He's like
every day.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
I know it's wild because being an entrepreneur, every single day you learn something new. And no matter who you look up to and who you talk to and what books you read, there is never enough information out there to help you deal with the specific problems that arise every day. Right. And I've found that you have to accept that in order to be successful. You can't fight against that because it's inevitable. Every day some shit will come up where you have no idea how to deal with it, and then you will figure it out, and you'll always figure it out. Yeah. And that's that, you know?
every day there's literally something. And honestly, especially with like the pandemic, like specifically, I'm sure for everyone, but like production has been so insane and delayed with every project. So like calendars get pushed around and it's like really hard to plan out a year of like things when you're like, what is going on here? So it's like super challenging, especially now.
Yeah, it's very weird. So I know you have, you said you had the pleasure, you had pleasures to talk to and you had the hundreds to talk to. Are there any female brands that you've sort of been able to look up to or get advice from, or just, I don't know, I feel like you're definitely a minority in streetwear being a woman in it.
Yeah, I always kind of like, there's definitely women's brands like in streetwear that are like the pioneers, like Married to the Mob and like Health Belts, Petals and Peacocks. They've been around forever and I have been wearing their stuff forever. It's crazy because like, even though I am like surrounded by all these like streetwear guys, I like don't really consider By Sami Ryan a streetwear brand per se, because I feel like streetwear is like pretty much based off hype. And while hype is amazing, we love hype, I feel like By Sami Ryan has always been more of a volume brand and we're okay with selling volumes of stuff and like not selling out all the time, just like letting everyone be able to have the pieces. And that's why I feel like Zumiez is so amazing for us. They're an amazing retailer because they're able to, you know, we're in 700 stores across the country. So it's like, I feel like sometimes like streetwear brands like only want to be in like such niche stores because they want to keep it very tight. And like, that totally works for the majority of streetwear brands. But like, I honestly feel like streetwear doesn't want women brands. So it's always harder for women to like, and women owned brands to make it really successful in like the streetwear industry because it's all guys. So for me, like I always just tried to take myself out of there, even though like a lot of my mentors and people that are around me are in streetwear. I just try to never consider myself in that realm because like they're really not accepting of women's brands as much as men's brands.
Do you think that will ever change?
I mean, I'm sure it will eventually. Like, there are women's streetwear brands, I guess, out there now. It's just like so different. I feel like considering like a men's brand in streetwear can blow up so fast and a women's brand, it's just like, it's a boys club pretty much. So it's like girls trying to like get into a boys club, like boys like, oh, cooties. So I just have always felt like since streetwear is such a boys club, obviously like girls love to wear guys' clothes. Like I love wearing guys' clothes. So for women consumers, I feel like it's fine. For women brand owners, I feel like it can definitely be a little challenging to break those barriers to be in that.
I mean, I 100% feel you because with Emo Night, I mean, I want to say 98% of the emo pop punk world is dudes. And so, yeah, throughout the whole process of doing Emo Night, I'm always like, trying to bro down with everyone, trying to be cool. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, you know, just walk that line between being like, oh shit, when I grew up, you were my hero, but now you're just backstage at Emo Night. I'm just trying to be cool.
No, that must be insane because like, I literally grew up on emo music and I feel like that was everything I listened to. And like, even when I like would meet people in person now, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like freaking out. Like, it's crazy when you see people that you used to like admire when you're younger in person now, and you're like, oh shit, they're actually just a normal person, but I'm still 100%.
And I'm glad I really early on that Mark Hoppus was at maybe the third emo night that we ever did, because I got all of that out of my system. I fangirled out. I was just, I couldn't even speak. I was so embarrassing. But then really quickly we became friends and I realized, oh, okay, no, everybody's a normal person.
Yeah, exactly. I think I fangirled like when I did the Twitch live stream with you guys and Mark Hoppus was on, and like in between the Zoom exchanges, he like waved at me. I was like,
Yeah, shit. I mean, he's one of the most iconic people in the scene forever.
Iconic, yeah, it's crazy. So I totally feel you because I was like still freaking out about that moment. I was like,
you live on that high for a month every day. You're like, it's everything yeah, exactly. is fine. We're in a pandemic, but Mark Hoppus waved at me, so we're all good.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what were some of your favorite bands growing up, or some of the bands that got you into emo and pop punk initially?
So like, I feel like in Pennsylvania, there was definitely like a really interesting like pop punk slash like hardcore scene there. So like, since I was at shows like 2 or 3 times a week, like literally always there was just an ever revolving door of bands that would come. But obviously I had my favorites, and back then I really, really used to listen to a lot of like Bayside, Taking Back Sunday, obviously, Thursday. I used to like love Alistair, and I mean, obviously Blink-182. Like, I feel like I have like an entire list, like My Chemical Romance, like literally all those people. Sum 41, mm-hmm. love. And I love 4 Years Strong and Set Your Goals. Like, those are like, I think my top two.
Those are amazing. Do you still find that you listen to it as actively as you used to, or do you kind of revisit older bands?
Honestly, like, I literally play my like emo night playlist at least 3 times a week in my headphones at work because it's something so nostalgic that like brings me back. And like back then when I was like a total angsty teenager, so like listening to like emo music totally got those like feelings or like whatever out of me. And like, you know, recently since production has been so crazy and like delays has just been like making me spiral, like emo music has like been there for me. So it's literally been the only thing that I'm like, okay, bring yourself back. Like,
yeah, keeps you grounded. Okay.
Kind of. Yeah, it really does. Like, in a weird way, like I feel like I've never stopped listening to like emo music because it was such a big part of my life that, you know, it'll always be like something that I'll really enjoy. Like for the longest time, like there's like a Set Your Goals song, it's called Arrival Notes, and it's just like a really pretty acoustic like 30 second or maybe a minute song, and I was like, oh, I need to have this at my wedding, like I fucking love this song. So like forever I've always just been like, this is just like a part of who yeah. I am. I
think it's also cool because it can fit every mood. You can put on Paramore or Blink and dance around in your living room or your office or whatever, and then you can put on Bright Eyes at night and just cry a little bit.
I was actually crying a little bit because I was supposed to go to a Bright Eyes concert maybe in like May or something in San Diego. And me and my friend Alicia, she's like, I bought us tickets, like we're going. And I'm like, I'm so excited. And then everything got shut down and I was like, man, I'm actually crying.
That's been one of the hardest parts of all of this is all of the things that I've had on my calendar for the year. I didn't go through and delete everything. I deleted things maybe 2 months ahead of time, but I didn't realize this would last 100 years. Yeah. So things still pop up, like the Taylor Swift concert popped up in July and I lost my shit, and then Bright Eyes and all these concerts, all these trips. We were supposed to be on the Coheed and Cambria cruise this weekend, and all these things keep popping up, and I just...
And Coachella.
Yeah, I've like, given up on that long ago, but yeah. That was so heartbreaking. And even that weekend they came out with their documentary, so I just sat in my living room watching this documentary about 20 years of Coachella, just crying that we wouldn't be there.
That was rough, but it'll get better. I'm sure you guys will get, hopefully, like, you know, live concerts and stuff like that will start up maybe like next year. Like, I don't know, trying to be optimistic, but it's so hard to even
I think it'll be weird for a while no matter what, you know. I don't think it'll be like, oh, the Echoplex is open, let's do it. It'll be distanced and masks and all that, but I mean, I'm willing to do anything just to have an actual show, you know. I was watching your YouTube video about your tattoo sleeve, which was really interesting, but it made me realize you're super into astrology, which is...
Yeah. I definitely am really into astrology. I'm not like a genius at it, but I'm into it, I guess. Like, I totally listen to like read my horoscope, or like my friend, she does like tarot readings, and I'm like, oh, I'm such an Aries. Like, I can't even deal like stuff like that. But I totally, I feel like I used to be able to be like, you're such a good compatibility match with this sign and da 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 da. Now, not so much, but back like a couple of years ago, I like have this massive book that's like this big. It's called like Sign Mates, and it tells you every single thing about like, you know, the zodiac signs as men and women and in relationships. And I got really into it. Yeah,
I'm super into it as well. I would say I'm not as into it as I could be or should be, maybe, because I realized, especially during quarantine, I feel like it's really easy to zone in on how you're feeling and who you are lately. And so I realized that the new moon really affects my life. And so I started to kind of zone in on that and figure out what that means.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just, and then I make decisions around that. If the new moon is coming up, I make very serious decisions of what I will do, who I will see, you know, work wise, personal life wise. Do you do the same thing?
Same, like during Mercury retrograde, like it's actually hilarious because we've been talking to Smiley about working with them for about a year, and they sent me a contract during Mercury retrograde, and I literally refused to sign it for like 3 months. I was like, Mercury's in retrograde, like you don't sign contracts during then, like you guys know this. Ben and Bobby in the kitchen, they're like, what is wrong with you? And like, I'm just like sitting there trying to explain myself at lunch, and everyone's like, sign the papers. Like, what are you doing?
That is so funny. So did you really nod ridiculous. Until it was over?
I really waited. Like, I definitely waited until it was over, and I gave like the 10-day grace period to be like I literally overextended the wait period just to be safe.
Do you say that in emails? Or do you just say, hey, I'll get back to you on this date or something?
I think when Evan was talking to the Smiley licensing team, they were like, hey, just following up on the contract. And he probably had to out me like in a couple emails, like, I'm so sorry. Sammy's saying it's Mercury retrograde. She can't sign the contract right now. Like, I'm trying to get her to sign it, basically. So they were just like, okay, we'll wait for it.
That is so funny. I've realized, and I don't know if it's just because this year people are just being more honest. You know, if you don't respond to an email for 4 days, you just say, hey, I'm in a trash can right now. But I've noticed that a lot more people, like one of the artists that we work with for Ride or Cry, one of the managers emailed us a month ago, and he said, hey, I can't get on this call today. The full moon really got to me, and I just am spiraling a little bit. And this was from somebody so serious that I was just like, holy shit, this is an acceptable thing to do now. I love it.
Wow.
Yeah. And going with a guy too, it was so interesting because I feel like this is written off as such a woo-woo kind of thing, but I think there's a lot of truth to it.
Totally. I definitely do too. Like, for sure. The moon phases, I mean, they even affect the ocean. So why wouldn't they affect like other energies and entities like around like every living thing, right?
Do you do any intention settings around the new moon or any like any other?
Yeah. So I feel like I've been doing my like intention stuff for years because my mom is Wiccan and I kind of grew up like around spirituality a lot. We would always do things like on like the new moon. And up until now, I still definitely try to write out my intentions or like think of them in my head. Every night I have like a gratitude journal that really helps like ground me with, you know, if I'm going through a bad day, I'll just like write a couple things that are like great about today. And then it makes me feel better about like the bad things. So I feel like the intentions help, the gratitude journal helps, and just like trying to ground myself at all times, I feel like it's really important, especially with the moon phases, of course. Like things could just like, you know, be a little turmoil, or like you can, I don't know, it could just be a little fucked up at sometimes. But I feel like as long as you just like keep yourself grounded, you're yeah. like good to go.
Sometimes it's hard though. I feel like when you get caught up in a busy day, or, you know, the news isn't the best, which it's normally is not recently, it's hard to yeah. maintain doing those things and keep track of your mental health.
Totally. I literally try to not watch the news. Like, I definitely stay informed and I read more than I watch, I feel like, because I just like can't take that stuff that, like, I don't know. I just feel like reading articles by like journalists and like, I don't know. I feel like you get more information or you like, you take it differently. Cause sometimes I feel like when you're watching the news or like stuff like that, you're just so confused and you're like, I don't get this. Like, this is crazy. Like, how are people watching the news and thinking like, this is like, okay. Like, I'm mind blown most of the time. I'm just like, this world is crazy. Like,
I know,
we need to change.
So nuts. Well, thanks yeah. so much for chatting with me. Also, do you want to let everyone know what you have going on this month and then the rest of the year?
Yeah. So this month, By Sammy Ryan has our collaboration with Smiley throughout October and November. And then in November, we have a really awesome collaboration coming out with Care Bears, which is sick because I feel like, what else do we need right now besides a fucking Care Bear stare? Yeah. Like, we need a Care Bear for 2020. So amazing. Yeah, super cool collaboration coming out with them. And then we just have products throughout the end of the year just coming out pretty much every week. So we're both busy
that.
Over
it's,
here.
It's so good to see. And it's so cool also that you just got engaged. So it's been – I saw you went dress shopping and stuff.
I've been like going ham with the dresses. Like, I've decided I want two dresses, like one for the ceremony and one for the reception. Evan, we're getting married in Manchester by the Sea, which is where Evan's from. It's like a super small coastal town, like outside of Boston. And, you know, it's a very small town. So when I told his like mom I was getting two dresses, she was like, oh my God, you're like so extra. It's crazy. I'm like, I could have three. I might have another one for the late night. Yeah. Like, who knows?
Yeah. My sister did that, but she didn't end up changing. But yeah, because, really? I mean, you want something more comfortable, I feel like, for after the ceremony. Exactly. You want to just get down and dance and something yeah. comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the plan. Like, I'm in hunt of, like, trying to find a wedding planner and, like, trying to plan, excuse me, a wedding from the West Coast that's mm-hmm. going to be on the East Coast. So it's pretty challenging. And it's crazy because all the weddings from this year got pushed till next year. So a lot of the vendors right. are taken up already. So it's like, you really have to book stuff like almost immediately. So it's definitely been something on my to-do list every day that's like fallen to the right. bottom of the to-do yeah. list.
But that's so exciting. And I'm sure it'll be so fun once it all.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. Yeah, it's just Manchester by the Sea is such an amazing place. And like, hopefully one day I'll live there because like, I would love to live like in small town by the beach and just like have a horse or something. I don't know.
Same. Honestly, very same. I'm dreaming of living on a farm in the south of France and have some goats and just call
same.
It a day.
Oh like, my God. I have to send you this Instagram account that is like, this amazing chateau in, it's like a castle in France that you can like Airbnb out in the south of France. And it's so pretty. They'll give you like, obviously like they'll make food for you. There's like bicycles, an amazing pool and a garden. It's so pretty. I'm going to send it to you because I've been like dreaming of this place. I'm like, I need to spend a summer there. It's so pretty. Yeah, I'm going to send it to
I'm
you.
I'm so excited because all I've been doing mostly every day is making Airbnb folders of trips that I need to take. And
yes.
the first one will be to south of France and then Paris. I'm
okay,
so
well,
excited.
I'm going to send it to you because it's
I'm so excited and then I'll just dream about it until this nightmare is over.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that you have a great weekend, and I'll
Yeah, likewise. Thanks so much for so chatting fun. Today. Appreciate it. Yeah,
talk to you later. Bye.
It was. Bye.
That's what ransomware is all about. It's psychological pressure.
Ransomware, when your computer's hacked into and your data held ransom. Attacks are on the rise, and Russian gangs are making billions of dollars.
The moment I got that message, I knew our greatest fears that we ever have are starting to come true.
The post-Cold War era is over.
.com, The Hacking. A new season from Crowd Network with me, Katie Puckrick. Just search for .com, that's D-O-T-C-O-M, and subscribe.